300 episodes, family. 300 episodes. We couldn't have done it without you. Definitely appreciative, thankful. I know that a lot of people talk about putting in that work. I appreciate you allowing me to put in the work to deliver good content and value to you. Today's episode is going to be a value-packed episode. So before we get started again, I know normally I don't do this, but again, this is episode 300. Do you know how many people stop at 20 episodes? So I just want to celebrate with you, with my family, 300 episodes. So first of all, to my podcast family, a special shout out to Belgium, especially Brussels and Belgium, Springfield. All right, Germany, I see you checking in. And of course, Argentina, Buenos Aires, showing me some love. I appreciate you. And then I say the best for last and the last for best, my YouTube family. I want to thank Jude, everyone that's leaving comments and really showing me that love. That really is what gets me going when you say, yeah, that episode right there, that hit for me. I remember there was an episode that I did around ageism, and it really took off for, and I was shocked. And I just asked somebody, hey, what kind of episode did you want me to create? And he said something around age. And then it was something around, what if I always hear about project managers jumping to different organizations. So I want to thank that person as well. I just want to thank everybody that's always telling me, hey, this is something I want to know about. Cause listen, family, at the end of the day, let me set this 300 episode down. At the end of the day, I am here to serve you, meaning that I want to make sure that when you come here, you are getting real life project management tips, tricks. And just if you're just thinking about getting into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. Also, you know, sometimes you don't get a chance to see the insights of what it's like being a project manager. So with no further ado, I'll just wrap it up because I know you guys are just, you're probably just like, man, come on, just get into the episode. We know, we're with you. Hey, again, thank you so much. I appreciate you. With no further ado, let's get into today's episode. Here we go. Let's go. Are you truly prepared for the challenges that await you? Or are you living in a project management fantasy? What is your plan for proving your value in the first 90 days when you're still trying to figure out where is the doggone coffee machine? Oh, I'm sorry, coffee machine. This is a test, only a test. Imagine you're walking into your first day of work. You excited. You probably got some notebook and paper, and you probably got that trusty coffee mug if you were able to find the coffee machine. And all of a sudden, you're bombarded with unclear priorities, resistant from team members, and of course, outdated project plans and project schedules. But you're a perfectly polished PM, of course, right? And then all of a sudden, you suddenly feel inadequate, lack of courage, and then you find out you got to navigate office politics, battle with limitation after limitation after limitation after you get where I'm going. Now, I hope this never happens to you, but it's better to be prepared than be afraid of the preparation required. Again, this is a test, only a test. Let's get into a quick story. You mind if I share a quick story? I could tell you the first time this happened to me, but you know, I always want to over-deliver, especially on episode 300. So I'd rather tell you the last time this has happened to me. You're like, ED, what do you mean the last time this happened to you? You see, what we're about to discuss today just doesn't happen to new project managers. So new project managers who are starting new projects or thinking to get into this thing called project management, I want to let you know this just doesn't happen to you. This can happen to a seasoned project manager as well. There I was, super excited about starting with this organization because, see, their business model was a little unique. It was different from the different business models that I previously worked in. Like I said, as a project manager, one of the amazing things is that, yes, you can do IT, meaning infrastructure, but you can also do things like cybersecurity. You could also do things like finance. You can also do, because there's so many components to this thing of project management. But anyway, I was excited. And so I connected with my manager first thing in the morning. And I said, Okay. I'm here early. I actually got here 15, well, let's be honest. I got here 30 minutes early because I was excited. And I said, okay, could you show me to the, where your OPAs are? He said, your what? I said, your OPAs, where I can go look at the database where all your OPAs or your SharePoint or ShareFile, whatever you use. He said, what do you mean by OPAs? I said, your organizational process asset. This is where like your when previous projects were done, they would store their project schedules, their project plans, their lessons learned registered, so I can kind of get an idea of what's going on. He looked at me. Edward, you don't know what time it is here. I said, well, let me look. I said, I'm here early in the morning, so I'm sure that I'm on time. He said, no. He said, that's what we hired you for. I said, wait a minute. So are you telling me I'm the first project manager you hired here? He said, no, that's not it. He said, you're the one that we're going to need some help with organization. Previous project managers, they just kind of did what they did. And we're looking for more structure. And based off your background and your experience, we're hoping you can come in and give us this structure and give us what the proper tools and templates that we're supposed to actually leverage. I took a deep breath. I said, no problem. And I realized, family, at that point, this can happen to any project manager, no matter if you're starting or you've been in this thing for 10 plus years or less than 10 years. It's potential. So I want to prepare you because I wish somebody would have prepared me for this. We're going to cover 8 points, and you know how I do, especially with it being the 300 episode. I'm going to throw in some bonuses. Point number one, expect to make some mistakes. Listen, no project manager gets it right the first time, especially in a new role. You know, I get so frustrated, and I use the word frustration loosely because what tends to happen is new project managers are so excited to prove themselves that they don't take the time to go through the journey. And I understand there are organizations out there that do not allow you to make mistakes and they don't allow you to grow, but that means that's not the organization for you. And when I identify as mistakes, maybe you were supposed to send a report out and you didn't. How I identify mistakes is maybe you should have understood how to connect with this stakeholder. These are examples. So what I would recommend, family, right away as a new project manager, you should automatically develop a personal log of lessons learned from day one. Soon as you start, you should have that notebook with you. It should be right with you so you can start taking notes. Because the key here is to really learn from the mistakes that you've learned. And then also what you could do is when new PMs come in, you could help them. You can give an advanced start. And I know you're like, that's not fair. I had to learn this the hard way, ED. I get that. But let me tell you this. You may need that project manager one day. And by helping that project manager along, get up to speed faster, and they may be working on a critical project where you may need a resource. And they say, hey, I'm willing to give you that resource temporarily because of the fact that when I came on board, you were the only one that reached out to help me. Let's move on to point number two. Expect information overload in your first month. Like I said, you're going to get bombarded with new names, processes, systems, application, what you shouldn't do here, why you should do this here. It's going to be a lot of information. And you know what I'm going to say as an actionable tip. Let's go back to our personal book and create our... See, this personal notebook is going to be key for you, family. And the reason why this is going to be key is because you're going to need something to turn back and look at, especially when you get a jam. And if you don't understand something, if you go into a meeting, this is getting good to me. I'm sorry. When you go into a meeting, and let's say even during your performance appraisal, and your manager starts, let's say you have one of those managers and they're not a leader, they're a manager, and they start nitpicking at certain things. If you have that stuff documented, when you sit down for your performance appraisal and you say, they say, well, yeah, you know, you were supposed to send that report out on Thursday and you missed it. And you said, you know what? I'm so glad you pointed that out. I'm actually keeping a personal wiki or notebook of things that the mistakes that I made and what I'm going to do to correct it. And let me show you what I did. So now what I do is on every Thursday, I have a calendar reminder as well as I set a reminder on my phone to ensure that I haven't missed it. So by the way, since you called that out 2 months ago, have I missed it another one? He looks back through his email. No. So again, family, this is going to be key. And this allows you to focus on understanding what are the critical processes to the business. Please, and I'm gonna get into my James Brown. Please, baby, please don't try to memorize everything. That's why I'm telling you, use the notebook. I have a really amazing memory, but I realized that why am I exerting extra memory on things that I would rather write down and save my mind to be able to solve problems, because that's what you're there for as a project manager. Point number three, this is a tough one. Expect you may or may not inherit trouble projects. Oh yes. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to make you nervous, but you know, as the new person coming in, you may get the trouble projects that people have watched this family attempt it, but didn't execute on. So new PMs are often given challenging projects to fix. Here's an actionable tip. You want to conduct a thorough project health check in your first month. What is a health check? A health check is looking at the project schedule. How far are we behind or ahead, or are we on time? Let's look at our budget. All we're doing is looking at the triple constraints first. That's the very first thing. So our triple constraints or our iron triangles are scope, cost, schedule, and quality. These areas first you look at, because they're going to have an impact. If you have scope creep or you have gold plating, your project is in trouble. And it's going to affect one of those areas that I talked about, schedule, or it's going to affect cost, and of course, the quality, and the same thing with budget. So you get where I'm going. So then after that point, you go through your triple constraints. Now you want to have a meeting so hopefully they had a stakeholder register. If they didn't have a stakeholder register, you start trying to connect. Hey, who can I talk with about this project that I've just been assigned to? You talk with them, and them being the project team and the stakeholders, and then you find out what their opinion is, because they're not going to give you the truth. They're going to give you their opinion, like, this didn't go right, that, okay, that's great, that's good. But how do we fix it? What are your thoughts of how to fix it? You always want to shift the conversation to a better of how do we move forward type conversation. And then propose a realistic recovery plan. And that's the best you can do. But I say this candidly, and the reason why I say that, family, is because I hope that you don't have to inherit a troubled project when you're first coming into this thing. I hope that you don't expect that, but there's a possibility you might have to. And so as like I said at the beginning, Liz, it's better to be prepared of going and thinking you're going to get a troubled project and you don't, but you still have the tool sets. This is why I want you to listen to this episode over and over again, because I'm only giving you eight of things I would watch out, but this is one of those main ones. All right, let's move on to point number four. Anticipate tool and software limitation. You know, one of the things I like to do when I first start a new organization, I like to understand, hey, what tools are you using? Normally I ask that in an interview, hey, what tools are you guys using for scheduling? Now, they may throw out Microsoft Project, and sometimes I don't believe them, because the reason why I say I don't believe them is because of the fact of you just start asking Microsoft Project questions. How schedule baseline? And then if they can't answer how their schedule is baseline, or they don't even know what you're talking about, then you say, okay, you must be using something else. You may be using an Excel document or even smart baselines. But point I'm trying to make, family, you want to find that out in the interview so you can start getting prepared when you walk into the organization. The tool that they're using to study up on, and maybe even go get a free trial or buy a month subscription so you can practice on it before you come into the organization. But I will tell you, there's been many organizations that made the decision not to go with a Microsoft Project or a Smartsheets. They may have went with a tool like Asana, which I love that tool as well because of the two-way communication, meaning that once I update the milestone list and the schedule, email is generated out, as well as I can use it as a chat box as well to chat with people, sort of like, so as a combination, just think of it as a combination of maybe like a Smartsheets, because I use Smartsheets because of the easeability or the usability. It's very easy where you can move things around compared to a Microsoft Project, as well as it has that Teams functionality where you can chat. So this is one of the things that I love about it. But here's an actionable tip. Assess the current tool set and identify any critical gaps in your first month. That's your first 30 days. You want to look and do a critical gap analysis, and it don't have to be robust. I mean, straightforward. Hey, they don't have this tool. Okay, what am I going to use in that place? I can use Microsoft Excel. And be prepared to use, like I said, basic tools like Microsoft Excel for project tracking if necessary. Point number five, expect to navigate politics. Message, if you're new to the episode, anytime that I say message, this is one of those points you want to pay attention. You want to lock in because I'm about to say something that either is going to disrupt how you were thinking or make you say, wow, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. So expect to navigate office politics. Listen, when you're leading projects, there's going to be a lot of politics. Here's an actionable tip. You want to identify the key influencers, formal and informal, in your first month. And I do mean your first month, because if you wait any longer, you may wake up and be in for a rude awakening. You want to stay neutral, but you still want to build relationships with these influential stakeholders. So I recommend, again, when you build relationships, just don't talk about the project. Talk about them. Have a real genuine conversation. All right. Point number six, expect long hours, especially initially. A lot of people don't share this with you. See, these are things that you may not be aware of. Now, someone will say, well, that's not true. I come in at 8 and leave at 5. But when you go home, if you're an exceptional project manager, which I believe you are, because you wouldn't be listening to today's episode, you're going to want to go over that notebook that I keep telling you about. Okay, how can I set myself up for success so I don't repeat that mistake again? What can I do to be better? What are some things I can recommend? Even if it gets rejected, I still can have it written down and maybe come back to it again. These are things you may be doing before hours or after hours. This is going to be happening during your 8 to 5 window. So I recommend, family, that you definitely look knowing that you're going to have long hours, especially in the beginning. So what I'm going to recommend to you as an actionable tip, prioritize self-care to avoid burnout. This is a marathon. This is not a 40-yard dash. This is not a 200-yard dash. This is not a 100-yard dash. This is a marathon. And a marathon is you take your time, but you still run at a speed that can still match the organization until you eventually get to a spot where you're running comfortably. All right, point number seven, expect to deal with underperforming team members. You know, one of the things when you're leading projects, every team has various team members, especially in this day and age. I'm noticing more and more project team members are quiet quitting. And if you don't know what quiet quitting is, that's just basically my definition or my remix is that at one point, they were just giving their all. They were just over-delivering. And then slowly but surely, you start seeing them not showing up for meetings, not providing much value. Their answers get shorter and shorter, and they just start becoming more and more distant. And so I recommend, as an actionable tip, assess individual performance within the 45 days, as well as address and attack performance issues early and document, because you know what we say here, documentation always beats conversation. So document concerns as well as improvement plans. And I always say, when people start quiet quitting, give them an opportunity, because you don't know what's going on in someone's life. So you want to give them an opportunity to explain what's going on. If they don't want to share it with you, no problem. You need to start pivoting and start finding someone else that can assist you and help you in the journey. Point number eight, message, anticipate communication gaps. Listen, organizations, for some odd reason, create different silos. And it's common. Like every organization I've ever worked in, there's been some type of silo. But the key is something unique when you could come in and break down those silos. I'm always looking to break down those silos. Hey guys, we need to work together, because if this person or this team is unsuccessful, we are all unsuccessful, because there's a piece that they need to do in order for everyone else to have success. So find ways to break down those silos. Map key communication channels and stakeholders in your first 2 weeks. That is key. I'll see a lot of project managers just want handle everything through email, which is fine. But sometimes you need to get on a call with a stakeholder before you even send out that email, because you don't know that you may have a stakeholder or even a project team member that they are just so busy that if it's not an emergency, they're not really checking emails. They may have certain time periods where they're checking emails. So if you have a Teams or a Slack, ping them there and then say, hey, can we get on a quick call? And then send that email, because now they may be checking for it just for clarity. And again, you know, ensure regular check-ins with critical stakeholders. Here's my first bonus. Anticipate stakeholder skepticism. Listen, they don't know you. I don't know how to say it. You're new. I don't care if you're seasoned, brand new to, if you're brand new to project management, you're definitely got an uphill battle, because at least as someone that's been through it, you have somewhat of a qualification that you somewhat kind of proved yourself. But as a new person, they're gonna question your competency right from the beginning. And so you want to be able to find ways to deliver. Here's an actionable tip. Find a way to deliver a quick win within your first 30 days and choose something that is visible and, as they say, low-hanging fruit or a low-risk task to demonstrate your capabilities. Second bonus, anticipate unclear or conflicting priorities. You know, I'm smiling and laughing at the same time, family, because I don't know how many times where I've been leading a project. I remember when I used to lead probably anywhere from 3 to 5 projects at a time, and it would be, well, this one is the priority. And then it's like, okay, so you start putting so much energy in it. You can put that on hold. We're going to come back over. And you're like, what? And you just have to go with it, because this, again, if you work on projects that are revenue generating, you may see that your priorities may shift, and that's okay. And even if you don't work on revenue generating, maybe there's something, a particular rule that is coming, a compliance rule that's coming in place, that now a shift in priority has to happen. And you have to have that, you have to have the ability to shift and not think twice about it and not get into your emotions like, how am I ever, nope, just shift. Just go ahead, make sure you document when the request was made, because if you don't, and someone picks up that project and say, well, why you didn't do such and such? You could say, listen, based on confirmation that I received, I was asked to shift priorities. All right, family, here's my 3 closing remarks. Point number 1, expect to make mistakes. Like I said, no project manager gets it right, everything right, especially in a new role. So again, get that notebook, develop that personal log of lessons learned. Point number 2, expect to navigate office politics. You are going to run into a lot of office politics. You're also going to deal with key influencers. So you need to have formal and informal in your first month. And then my last and final one, you may or may not inherit troubled projects. So I want to make sure that you can expect that, meaning that it may or may not happen. But if it happens, just be prepared for it. And you just want to do a project health check. Family, again, I am so grateful and thankful for today's episode, like I am for every episode. But this makes 300 episodes entitled. If you're listening to on the podcast, we haven't got 300 episodes there yet. But I just want to share this win with the family, both the podcast and my YouTube family. I'm so gracious. I'm so thankful. I go by the name of ED. And for all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means